You're listening to a Rock Candy podcast.
Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm John.
Our show, Magnified Pod, is the only podcast that discusses culture, religion, politics, and deep dives into the discographies of the bands that shaped a generation of 90s youth group kids.
We share our thoughts on the Christian bookstore alternate universe scene we grew up in, our changing religious views, and the alternative music that formed us, going through albums track by track.
We've also interviewed band members, producers, filmmakers, and artists, and had fascinating, profound, and silly conversations along the way.
Check out Magnified Pod on the Rock Candy Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. This is Reese Roper, one of the hosts here at Joe and Reese's Pickle and Boot Shop, a diabolical brainwashing machine. This is my weekly disclaimer for our podcast. First of all, Joe said that he went to a hoedown, and I made an off-color joke. You'll hear it. I can't remember how to sing Susu Studio by Phil Collins. Sorry to you, Phil. We don't get to half the things that we said we're going to cover in this show. And then I say that Keith is the Korean of Five Iron Frenzy, which I think is racist. Is it? We got to do another show where we end racism, I think, because that's coming. Anyway, I've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. The Pickle and Boot Shop, we hope you hate it.
Gentlemen, we are starting off episode 22. Dos, dos. If you don't speak German, that is 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like it's been forever. Me and you are kind of on a new schedule where we try and record every Thursday. And then if there's a weekend that falls in there, some point where we can get a couple of hours in, we try and do it. So we haven't casted in, man, like a week, like over a week.
10
it
days.
Seems like it's been like 10 days. Yeah.
Seems like or as 10 days.
So has anything happened in those 10 days? Anything new in your life?
Yeah, the most important thing that's new in my life is that I have found out the best possible way to annoy my wife, my estranged wife, who I live in the same house with.
Yeah. Yes, not a weird situation at all.
So she doesn't like it if I pretend like I'm speaking French.
Okay.
Because that was her major in college.
Okay.
And she doesn't like Phil Collins. So if I sing made up songs in made up French, it like in Phil Collins style, like I'm like La petite boulangerie au coin de France, boulange. Then she gets really upset.
Really upset. Yeah, I can see why.
Yeah, some of those
I
words
have
are real.
Against Phil Collins or the French, and I didn't like that.
It kind of makes me feel nasty when I sing it.
But maybe it'll grow on me. So just keep doing it. Like skin cancer, it'll grow on me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what all has happened. We had major storms come through Detroit here.
Did you?
And there has been flooding and all sorts of stuff. We kept our power, but like the rest of the city's been out of power for days. Like,
serious.
Half the city, yeah, half the city is still without power. And this is like going on like day three or something. But Yeesh. We had it. We had a tree come down and fall on the power lines, but the power lines like caught the tree. So our neighbors, a few houses down yesterday, like a crew came in, they had to cut our power for maybe an hour. And then they cut the tree up and then turned our power back on, all that stuff. But yeah, it's been kind of crazy up here with that type of stuff.
Hey,
get this. I went to a hoedown. A hoedown.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with this rite of passage for males and females, it is a country music festival here in the Detroit area. And I went to my first hoedown. Actually, this is my third hoedown, but it's my second one. It's my first that I've attended. The other ones, like, I worked at in the past for things. So I worked at two of them, and then this is the first time that I, like, went as a participating patron.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Man, it was
awesome.
Fun, though.
I can tell you.
So it was fun. And
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so I went with, like, a group of friends from work, and one of my friends, her name's Jessica, she was standing behind me, and we were on a hill. So there's, mm-hmm. like, the seats, or you can just buy the cheap tickets on the lawn, and it's, like, a big hill on the side of the amphitheater. And that's where it gets a little crazy and rowdy. And so she was standing behind me. I was sitting down. She was standing behind me. There's been lots of rain here in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And she did something, and I grabbed her leg. And unbeknownst to me, I tripped her. So she falls down. Geez. And the next thing I see is her rolling down the hill to the side of me. She rolls about 6 feet down this hill and stands up. She didn't spill her drink.
What?
She stands up. No, drink was fine. She stands up. She's covered in mud. Covered in mud.
Brother.
So, like, she was wearing, like, white jean shorts. Ruined.
Oh, no.
Like, she was wearing, like, a little tank top. Ruined. Her arm covered in mud. Her leg covered in mud.
Yo,
she had mud,
dude.
Like, all on her neck. Dude, I was like, what? So, like, I grab her leg, and then I let go. But again, unbeknownst to me, she tripped. And the next thing I see, you know, a half a second later, is she's rolling down this hill. And I was like, what in the world? So, yeah, ended up, the concert hadn't even started, I don't even think. And she is just completely covered in mud. I was so sorry. She didn't care. She loves it. She's an outdoors girl. And she was like, hey, I'm covered in mud. It's just mud. Don't apologize. I'm good. But I felt awful.
Jeez,
I felt awful. Yes.
So.
Yep. So that was the muddy festival.
At the hoedown. You know, one thing I learned here in Virginia is the term hoedown. Nothing to do with hoes. Okay, I don't know if you need me to drop some knowledge on you, but it has nothing to do with hoes.
Gardening hoes?
Yes.
Gardening or other?
No, it's actually a mispronunciation of the word hold down. And it was like, because in the South, they were like, well, I'm going to get a chance to hold down both my cousins. And that's why they call it a hoedown.
Okay. All right. Nice.
Yeah!
You got, in editing, you got to put in a little, like, a rim shot or something there.
Ba-doom! I'm done. I'm done. That's the funniest thing I got tonight.
Speaking of funny things tonight, we were going to talk all sorts of stomach issues tonight. We were going to talk, for the free part, we were going to talk, kind of go through the digestive system, if you will.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start by talking about eating on tour, places to eat on tour, places that you remember that really stuck out?
Just
that was really good.
Moving through the digestive system, which is just one continuous tube. Basically, that's all humans are. All animals are just a tube with one end to eat with and the other one end to poop out of.
It's a really long tube that's all squished and swirled up.
Right. Hey, Joe, just 1 second, though.
Yeah.
Un petit boulangerie fromage de France. Boulange. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Next one, if you're taking requests, I want studio.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So something, I want you to sing the song Studio.
How does it go?
Studio.
Studio. That's all I can remember.
Something like that.
Studio.
Yeah, and that could very well be French anyway. So maybe just singing the song is normal. Mm-hmm. Is normal French. Go to Amy and slip studio in with your French.
And see if she's upset or not. She's upset.
Yes.
She already is. It's default. She's just like, get out. Get out of here now.
She's like, do you have an apartment yet? Have you found a house? It is Sunday afternoon. We can drive around the neighborhood and find you a house.
She'll be like, don't wear your seatbelt, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll go. I think if we cruise past Dead Man's Curve and you're not wearing your seatbelt,
I'm gonna kick you out.
So we want to talk eating, places to eat. Then as that food digests, have you ever got sick on tour? Mm-hmm. Any horrible poop stories, puke stories? Then I want to take it and ask the third part. Have you ever had to have, or has anybody in the band ever had to have, medical attention while on tour? And then for the free part, or for the paid part, our patrons are going to get some horrible crap stories.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk, have you ever been hungover on tour?
Never.
Bathrooms on tour, whether that be truck stops, rest stops, churches, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we get to it, like, worst bathrooms and stuff ever.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to try and cover on today's episodes.
I'm excited about this.
Being the free and the paid. Yeah. So for starters, eating. Eating out on tour.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that phrase, eating on tour, what are some of the memories that come back that you think of?
Well, first of all, like, 90% of what you eat on tour is awful. It's just like
off a gas station rack.
Yeah, or it's like stuff you squirreled away from the show the night before, or fast food.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny that you say that. We did not eat a whole lot of fast food. I cannot remember. I can count on probably one hand in the time that the Insiders toured. I can probably count on one hand the time that guys like ran to Taco Bell or McDonald's or Burger King. That just like didn't happen.
Yeah.
I think Subway was probably eaten a lot. I do remember Subway being eaten, but like I don't ever remember like somebody grabbing Taco Bell, somebody grabbing Wendy's or McDonald's. I don't remember that.
We did it far too often. We would just like, you know, that like just stop the bus or the van at wherever, like you get off on some exit and there's like five fast food places together, and then just be like, you be back in a half hour, and there's always somebody that's not back on time. But
yeah, and then they always blame, well, I didn't get my food till 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, it was usually Kyle.
Yeah. Man, oh, he was the one. We would like
for us it was like Dennis.
Oh, it was always Kyle. We would pull in and he would want, you know, Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, dude, so everybody's like running into the gas station getting something to eat. That was another thing. We would choose to go in and eat from a gas station rather than a fast food place.
Wow.
Like, again, like I said, I just don't remember. And I know every now and then, like one of the insiders, sometimes Nate listens to this. So Nate can correct me if I'm wrong, but I swear, I don't remember guys ever getting fast food. But I remember, like, we would pull in, and if there was, like, we pulled into the truck stop or we pulled into the gas station, and, like, across the street was, like, a little strip mall or had, like, a Starbucks, Kyle would go there, and, you know, we'd fill up. It would take 10 minutes to fill up, and it took Kyle 40 minutes to get his, you know, whatever coffee that he wanted, espresso, and you're just like, are you kidding me?
And you probably didn't have cell phones, so you're just like, where's Kyle? I don't know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. We got cell phones pretty early on.
When did you get cell phones as a band?
I got my first cell phone toward the end of 1996.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was like the end of 96, beginning in 97. And we had like played a couple of shows, like just a couple of spot dates with the Supertones. The Supertones all had the same like phones. They were those old school Nokia.
Probably Dave Bonson bought them for them.
Yeah, with the money he stole. And so they all had them. And so we were giving them the business. We were like, oh, look at you guys making that Supertones money. You can afford cell phones. And they were like, no, you buy the phone, you buy your minutes. And then he's like, and that's what you do. And it's like this much a month. And we were like, are you serious? So after like those couple of spot dates, I came back here, you know, to back home to Detroit. I went and bought the exact same. I had a green. It was like grass green, Kelly green, Nokia phone. I still have it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've kept it all these years. It's in my storage locker.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So every phone I got after that, I haven't saved, but my very first cell phone I have saved.
There was some point right then where it got like 96 to 98 where it got affordable. You know, it was like,
yes, exactly,
really expensive. It was like $1 a minute to have a cell phone. And then all of a sudden, I think that those Nokias came out, and then all of a sudden it was like everybody had one.
Yep, exactly. And I remember, so we had done the things with the Supertones, and then we got them, a bunch of us in the band, maybe all of us went out and got them. Uh-huh. And then the next thing I know is people are like, whoa, you guys are making huge money because you got cell phones. And it was the exact same thing. Like people were like busting our balls that, you know, we all had cell phones and stuff. Oh, I didn't realize the insiders was making such good money.
There was some crossover there where everybody thought you were a drug dealer because you had a cell phone. You're like, well, it's $100. And I get to go home 3 months out of the year, so it's worth it.
Yeah,
we get.
I remember Sang didn't have, and I know we're supposed to be talking food, but this is what we do. We go off on tangents.
This is what we do.
I remember Sang had this thing that he didn't have a cell phone. He didn't pay for a cell phone, but he had this little device that you would go to a payphone.
Uh huh.
You would put your money in the payphone and you would call a number. Then you would hold the phone like a modem.
You could You'd email. Hold the,
yes.
Keith would had hold one of this, these.
Yes.
Yes.
So he would hold the phone up to this device. It would make all those noises like you're connecting to AOL. And then it would tell you, when it stopped making those sounds, you would hang up. And then on your little device, you know, it looked like a Game Boy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then on your device, it would have all your emails.
Yeah.
And so you would go through, you would answer your emails, you would do everything on this little device. And then you'd go back to the payphone and you'd hit it and it would receive your new ones. And then it would send whatever you had in the outgoing mail. It was crazy. So Sang had one of those. He never had a cell phone until I think later on, but
Keith had one of those because he was the Korean of Five Iron Frenzy.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
He had that kimchi business that he was running.
He did. Now we had a pager. It was the first thing we had, and we had to get it like in 96 when we started touring. And it was still like pagers were still associated with drug dealing. So
Yes.
People would be like, what's up with that pager? And you'd be like, come on, dude. You know, cops would pull us over or something, and they'd just be like, what is this? And you'd be like, come on. We're not selling drugs. Go get your dogs and smell. You know, like, smell the band.
We have Bibles and dirty underwear in here. Go get your dog.
Go crazy. We had a pager. I think I got the first pager for the band. And I just remember I got sick on tour. So this will come with our later thing. I don't remember this sickness, except I just remember I was like in the back of the van sleeping for like 2 days. And when I woke up, I could not find the pager. And it never came back. So it was gone. And it was like, I think it cost the band $100-$200. You know, it just got shut off. Well, then Keith got the pager. Keith's way more responsible than I was. And being the Korean of Five Iron Frenzy, he was more responsible. And So we had that for a while, but it sucked. You know, like people's family would try and call you and stuff. Then I think I was the first one to get a cell phone, like a personal cell phone. And I got one of those Nokias. I don't think you could text on it, though. You just called. And it was like 98.
You could text, but a text was like $2 a text. Oh. And like everybody.
And there was no one to text. I remember back then.
Yeah, and I remember back then, it was like, why would you text somebody when you can just call them? And then my buddy Cal, who rapped on The Hunted, and he was a big DJ here in the Detroit area on like the biggest like punk radio station. I remember he went to Europe to visit a girl that he was dating. She went over there to like go to school for a couple of semesters.
Yeah.
And he went over to visit her. And when he came back, he was telling me, he's like, do you like type messages on your phone to people? And I'm like, no, why? And he's like, everybody in Europe, he goes, they call it texting. And he goes, everybody texts. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, on your phone, you can like send a message. And he's like, everyone in Europe, you're on a train, you're on a bus, whatever you're on, everybody's just boop, 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 sending and receiving messages.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's never going to catch on here. I was like, why would you want to have these like big conversations over, you know, texting? And then you come to find out that it still sucks to have a huge conversation over texting. But for the small things like, hey, what's up? We recording tonight? You know, those types of things, a text is easy.
So here's the question, though. Who talks on the phone? Like, who calls?
You know what?
I'll talk to my parents, be like, I haven't talked to my dad this week. I need to talk to my dad. But anytime somebody's calling me, it's usually a telemarketer. It's usually about my extended warranty or some hustle.
I would agree with you. The weird thing is I have this little group of friends, and it's Cal.
Uh-huh.
It's this girl that I do the Average Jerks podcast with, she's a woman, Kathleen, and then my friend Jessica.
Uh-huh.
Those are the three people that just call me out of the blue.
Yeah.
So just at any point, like, yeah, I might just, hey, what are you doing? And it's kind of nice after years and years of texting. It's kind of nice to go back to like actually just having a conversation over the phone with somebody where you can hear their voice, you can hear when they're getting sassy, mm-hmm. you can hear when they're being sarcastic, as opposed to just reading it and then you're trying to think of what, you know, what mood they're in or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But yeah, that was a weird one. That's when I remembered this whole texting thing. And then people here, it started catching on, and I'm like, Cal, like, isn't this what you were talking about? Like, you know, and then it went from, you went from like $2 a text to then it's like you could send 400 texts for, you know, $5. Mm-hmm. And then if you wanted to go $1,000 for $10 extra a month, whatever it was, And then when they came out with unlimited texting, oh,
insane.
The heavens opened. Yeah, that was insane.
And all of a sudden, like, you could call long distance all you wanted. It was unlimited. That just seemed like the most crazy thing that you could do that. Because, you know, remember when you used to have landlines, it cost a ton to call people. I remember like when my fiance was breaking up with me in Mexico, I had to make all these calls over landlines. We played that one church in Columbus with Radio U, and the youth pastor Mark, he was like, you know, I was a wreck, so I was bawling all the time, and I was like, dude, can I please try and call my girlfriend in Mexico? And he's like, yes, here's a church phone. Well, they ended up, they sent me like a $200 bill. He was very diplomatic about it. He was just like, hey, man, you racked up like $200. But like now, my cell phone bill is like, I've got like Mint Mobile. It's $25 a month, unlimited everything.
Yeah.
So you're just like.
Yeah, and you can call Europe if you want. As long as you're in the States, you can call Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then do you remember being on tour and then if you needed to call, like you had a calling card?
Yes.
And like that would help bring down the cost of like long distance.
Yes.
But you had to call the calling card and then type in this like 100-digit number. Yeah.
It'd be like you have 30 seconds left. Like, hey, I'm still alive. Okay, I love you too. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah. But it was like you dialed like 1-800-AT&T now.
Uh-huh.
And then they would like put in your calling card number. And the next 7 minutes were spent putting in this number. And if you got one digit wrong, you were screwed. And you spent 7 minutes putting in this giant 87-digit number.
Yes.
And then you would press 1. Then the area code, and then the phone number. And then, you would get through, and you would have this discounted long-distance rate. So instead of $200 to Mexico, it was $170.
Uh-huh. And you spent most of your 10 minutes at the gas station, at the truck stop, punching in that number, trying to call home or trying to call your girlfriend.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. And then from that, then the cell phones were there.
Uh-huh.
So it was, I went on like a couple of tours where I had one of those calling cards. And then after that, it was like, boom, cell phone, done. The rest is history. Phenomenal. It was weird because when you live in Detroit, in the Detroit area, and I used to work in Detroit proper. So I would be right in downtown Detroit, and often I was close to the river. Well, depending on where along the Detroit River you were, if you received a text or a phone call, it would bounce off a cell tower across the river in Canada.
Oh no.
So then you'd get your Verizon bill, and there'd be like a $40 like roaming charge. And you were like, when did I roam? Like, I've worked 15 days straight. Like, I haven't even gotten out of town. And
could you fight
call
it?
Verizon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'd call Verizon and you know, you'd say, hey, I'm in Detroit, but it was pinging off a cell tower in Windsor across the river in Canada. And then they're like, oh, okay. And they just, like, no questions asked. They would just take it off the bill. But that happened, I mean, shoot, when I was working there every day, there were times where you'd call and you'd be, hey, there's 14 charges here for,
jeepers,
like, roaming, you know, and all these things, like, rack up and, you know, oh, yeah. And they just took them all off. It was never, I never had an issue, but you at least had to call.
I'm sure they made money off that, too, like, because I bet there was months or just people you just feel like, I don't know, I forgot.
Yeah.
Forgot to call and complain about this.
Yeah.
I got a story.
Or if you're just wealthy, and you're on like auto, you know, the auto payments
come
out.
Your parents are paying for it because you're in a fraternity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're a frat, brah. Hey, frat bra. Hey, if you guys are listeners and you were ever in a fraternity, now that that's come out of my mouth, I feel stupid because we're talking to Insider and Five Iron fans. I'm guessing there's not a whole lot of frat dudes that were big fans of our bands.
If there are, I want to know. Like,
I do too. Sorority girls, fraternity brothers. And here's the other thing I want to know. I want to know, later in life, has that paid off like it did when you first pledged? Like, can you go to Dallas and hang out? You know, you have a frat brother who owns a business. Like, those are the types of things, those connections that's what I always thought they were for, you know? So you pledge to a frat, and then when you're 30 and you go to Chicago for the weekend, there's some other frat brother in Chicago that you stay with or you get a hookup with or something. Not a hookup, as in you're hooking up with your frat brother. I think today I was hit on by a dude. Well, go on. We'll talk about that another time.
When I get hit on by a dude, though, it makes me feel so good. I'm like, I am dressing okay, or whatever I'm doing with this.
Yeah.
It's good. Because, like, ladies just expect you to be like a pig. But gay guys, like, they have to step it up a notch. This is generalizing, but, like, it's been my impression of gay guys is they're very well dressed and they take good care of themselves.
Yeah.
Much more than straight guys. So if I get hit on by gay dudes, I'm like, all right, I'm doing okay.
Here's the other thing I want to ask. Is there a term for what I'm about to discuss? Do you ever get around a gay dude and the guy is, you know, open about it, you're friends with him, whatever, or you're being hit on by someone and you're like, you know what? I kind of like the attention. I want to keep this guy liking me. Even though I'm leaving as straight as when I got here, I want that guy to be like, yeah, Yurki is awesome. Is there a name for that?
I don't know, but I have that same thing. I want gay guys to like me.
Yes. If I'm standing in a room of there's like a bunch of people and like maybe a guy is gay or a couple of guys are gay, I want him to leave there thinking like, you know what? Out of those 10 guys, Yurki's my type. Like I want that guy. Even though there's nothing in my wheelhouse that I'm going down that road. But I at least want that guy to be like, you know what? If Yurki did ever jump on this side of the fence, I'd ask him out.
Uh-huh. It does make you feel good.
It does. It really makes you feel good. Cause you can always pull the wool over some lady's eyes, right? But dudes, like you can always pull the wool over women's eyes. But dudes, if they know all the tricks that we as dudes do or say or all that stuff, and they're still like, yep, that guy, I like him, then man alive, what an ego boost.
Yeah. The church I get to, it's PCUSA, Presbyterian Church USA, which is, it's very inclusive. So we had like a gay pride parade in our little town here and like a festival and, so our church had a booth at it, which was sweet. It was just like a lot of us like, hey, everybody, love is love. And, you know, just kind of talking to people who are mad at the church. But I got hit on by so many dudes and my wife got so pissed at me like every time. I'm like, no.
Like, yeah, you don't get to.
You don't get to be mad about this.
Like, no, you don't.
This is a dead end street. Like there's no, like I'm not sexually attracted to dudes. I definitely am like when I saw the movie Troy and saw Brad Pitt in it, I was like, something moved down there. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Maybe John Hamm.
Yeah, I'm the same way with Vin Diesel in The Pacifier.
So, all right, so
like
I have
his acting, like his acting is so amazing that it, you know.
You're just like,
Yeah. Like, jeez. Yep. Man alive. That Vincent Diesel.
Vincent Diesel.
Yeah.
So I've got a pager story while we're on the subject.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five Iron was, so we, this is when Keith had the pager. So
okay,
we're on the Scott Against Racism tour, and you have to stop me if I told this story already, and then I'll just cut it out. But like,
okay,
so we're on the Scott Against Racism tour in, and we have a day off in New York City. So the Toasters are there. They're from New York City. They're like, hey, come on, Bucket, the singer for the Toasters, like, come on down. I'm having a party down in Soho. Come down to Moon Records and come to this party. And we parked in New Jersey, took the path in, which is like the cheap commuter train for New Jersey people to get in. And then
okay,
got to like Penn Station. I think it was all of our first time in New York City. So we get out. Have I told this story?
No.
Oh, good. It might be long-winded, but... So we get out in New York City. It breaks up again, like it's me and Andy and Brad, team one. We're hanging out together. We don't grasp the concept of subways. We know from watching TV that people in New York City take subways.
Yeah.
But when you go down, there's like machines. We didn't have credit cards. It was all like cash. We couldn't figure out how to buy this stuff. And so... we kind of got, like, let's not do this. We're hungry. Let's go up. We'll find some street pizza. Found street pizza. This is a cool thing about New York is, like, street meat and pizza is the best in the world. Like, you could just find some dude, and he's just, like, he's, like, moving around.
I feel like the diabolical discussion page is going to go crazy over the term street meat.
Street meat. It's, like... the last time I was in New York City, a guy in front of the venue was in this, like, trailer, and he was moving around what I think was chicken shawarma on this giant flat cooking surface with a drywall spatula. He was just moving it around into a corner, and I was like, give me some of that, and it was the best food I think I've ever had. It was just a pile of chicken meat.
Street meat.
Street meat is delicious.
In Detroit, the term street meat has a different connotation. If you go looking for street meat, you're probably going to be in a back alley with lots of regret.
Okay.
Moments later.
All right. So I am making notes. Don't ask for where the street meat is in Detroit.
Do not.
Okay.
Do not.
Well, so we come out of Penn Station. We're hungry. We eat. It's Brad and Andy and I. We break off. It's our first time in New York. And what I remember is somehow I had a map. Like, it came out. You know, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't. There was no Wi-Fi. There was no internet. So I had a paper map I maybe got in the subway station, in the train station. But I'm looking at it, and this dude just goes, we're sitting on the curb. This dude just goes, hey, what the fuck do you guys want? You lost? And we're like, oh, cool. This is New York. We're going to get murdered first thing. And he goes, here, come here. Let me see this.
It takes some people hours.
Yeah. Like,
we're the lucky ones. We get it in the first. We could still say minutes.
We shaved off so much time today. So
we're just, like, going to get right to the good stuff.
He just goes, let me see that. Where you want to go? And we're like, here, Moon Records down here. And he goes, okay, here's what you do. And he just tells us. And he's like, all right, you guys are cool. See you later. We're like, oh.
That's... he's like, tell Mr. Cotta I said hi.
I know. We're like, that's how people are nice to you. They say, what the fuck do you want? So,
quite different from the Bible Belt.
So the party is until like 3, and it's 9 in the morning, so we're like,
oh
yeah, we were eager, we're young and eager. We got to New Jersey,
You're like, the city that never sleeps.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently it does.
So we're like, I want to see Central Park. So we walk to Central Park, and we're looking on the map, and we're like, it's cool. It's 10 blocks. So we walk 10 blocks to Central Park, which is a mile. And then we walk all the way around Central Park, which is like, it was long.
Yeah.
I don't think we've walked like the perimeter.
Kevin do it in Home Alone 2.
Yeah, you have. You have seen it. Yeah. But we just like, I don't think we walked like the perimeter, but it was a good 5 miles of walking around in Central Park. Get back.
You needed Heelys.
We did.
If you would have, I don't think they were invented. Heelys,
it would have been so much easier.
So much. So much.
So I had a laptop that I always carried with me because I'd be like, well, what if I want to work on lyrics? Or,
of course you did.
So I've got this giant Mac, like one of those black laptops before they came out with the iMac or the MacBooks.
Yeah.
Enormous. Thing weighed about 30 pounds. I had like that. It had a spare battery. I had a zip drive that went with it because I was trying to do graphic design work for other bands. So I got all this stuff and all kinds of books, like a thesaurus, a notebook, a rhyming dictionary.
Listeners, are any of you guys shocked by this? Like everything that comes out of your mouth as far as the inventory, none of it shocks me. It was all in none of it.
There was extra socks, a jacket, all of my toiletries. It was all in this backpack. So I'm walking. At this point, we'd walked like 7 miles. And then we're like, well, we should try and get down to there. So we're like, maybe we'll take a cab. Could not figure out how to hail a cab. So we're just walking. We just walked. So from Central Park to Soho is like 10 miles. We get down there. I don't remember what we ate for lunch, but we get there. Got there at like 3. So tired. Like we get in there. Some of the guys from Les and Jake are there. It was early, so there wasn't a lot of people from the other bands hanging out and stuff, and it was just loud. And I just remember there was like really cushy velvet armchairs, and I sat down in it and I fell asleep for about an hour. I had just walked like 17 miles.
What do they call that? Like in the army, like a ruck, like a ruck walk or something, a rucksack hike, something.
It's, I don't know what it's called. It sucked. I got my army training. So then I wake up at like 5-ish and the other guys are like, hey, let's go. I want to go see the Statue of Liberty. So again, we don't ask anyone about the subways. Can't figure out the cabs. So we walk down to Battery Park, which is like another 3-4 miles. And then they're like, oh, you missed the last ferry to Liberty Island. But if you want to see it, you can just take the Staten Island ferry, goes out to Staten Island, comes back, and then you see the Statue of Liberty. So we take it. I also had a camera, like a full-size, like, camera with film, you know, like with the with multiple lenses. So
I'm sure it was
like 35,
sure
40 pounds.
I'm surprised you didn't have a skateboard.
I should have. Later on, I did get a longboard in this tour, and I started carrying it everywhere.
Yeah.
So we go. We take the ferry going out. We see the Statue of Liberty. It kind of circles around, comes back. I remember passing out, just falling asleep, dead asleep on the ferry with Brad. And then the guy, like, shaking us to wake us up. Like, hey, you got to get off.
But that was probably great sleep, like, on the water, nice breeze.
Yes.
Just, I would have been out, too.
So then we are like, we got to get back to the venue because the bus is supposed to meet us at the venue and then we can go to sleep. And it's about, it was about 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. Say 9. So somehow Andy, I think, broke off after the Moon Records party. He went with some of the other bands. He was smart. Okay. It's Brad and I. Brad and I walked from Battery Park to 52nd and Broadway, which is where we were playing at. Geez, what was this place called? I just remember it was at 52nd and Broadway because of the Rancid song, Olympia.
Yeah.
It was in the Broadway, like in the theater district. Royal Theater? Is it the Royal Theater? It was really cool.
Okay.
Walked all the way back, which, not a kidding, was again like 17 miles.
Oh my gosh.
So we had walked like.
But if you had to walk 17 miles, I mean, that's going to be a 6 hour walk.
Yes. I think we got there at like midnight. It was late. Man. Like it was.
What time did you play?
So we played. So we had that day off. We didn't play till the next day at like 6.
Okay. Gotcha.
So we got back and we're so exhausted. And we're like in front of the venue looking around. No bus. So we're like, we got to go find a payphone and call Keith. Because Keith was going to go. He took one for the team. He was going to go back to New Jersey, get the bus, and then drive it up so we could all sleep. Well, nobody else from the band is even around. So we're just thinking they're like having fun. They're out on the town and stuff.
Yeah.
Just Brad and I. So we call, nothing. Call, nothing. And each time, you know, it's costing you.
And this is you calling the pager, right?
Yeah, which is a.
And then Keith is going to have to then call you back on the payphone.
Yes. And that's how a Colorado number. Yes. So we spent like an hour doing that. Nothing. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of guys from MU330 show up and they're like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we're like,
you're like, we're about to cry. Why?
Yeah, we're exhausted and we want to sleep and there's no bus. And they're like, oh, ours isn't here either. Let's go get something to eat. So we went to some diner with them, ate, and we're dying. Like Brad and I are just dying, calling, nothing, no pager, no one calling. We go back, and those guys, like, we're going to go drinking still, and, you know, like, we didn't drink, so we're like, we're going to go try and find the bus again because we want to kill ourselves. We're so tired.
Yeah.
We go back, no bus. Nobody else in the band is there. It's like 2 in the morning. So we just kind of sitting there in front of the venue. Well, there's a homeless dude that has made this like his place to sleep inside that the foyer, like inside this little
stoop
alcove
area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he just starts talking to us. He's like legit crazy. Like he's telling us that he knows Janis Joplin, and he would be like, here, she gave me one of her albums, and he'd let us listen to it on his Walkman, and it would be like Creed or something. Like Janis Joplin. She always gives me albums and stuff. So we're just like, okay. But he's like, are you guys sleeping here or what? And we're like, I think we might be. And he goes, here's some blankets. So he gives us some blankets. And Brad and I just crapped out. Like, we were out. We're like, like so tired that I didn't care if someone just raped me in my sleep. I was ready to give up a kidney.
Yeah, you were about to get street meat.
Yeah, I was ready.
Yeah.
So about 6 in the morning, all of a sudden Brad is shaking me awake. He's like, dude, I found the bus. It's behind the venue.
So you slept with a homeless guy all night and the bus was behind it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
We folded up our blankets, gave them back to the guy, went to sleep on our nice air-conditioned school bus.
Oh, that's awful. That's awful.
And then slept until like noon. So that was what it was like living with a pager. So I guess Keith never got any of the pages until we got out of New York City because the buildings prevented the pager from working, which,
really?
If you can imagine, like one of the most densely populated places on the planet,
Yeah.
You can't use a pager.
Well, how was Jay-Z slanging rock then? Did he have to? Did he have someone with the pager up on top of Marcy and you know the Marcy Projects, and then they would come down and tell him or something?
Or maybe if you're like outside of Manhattan, it worked better. But like for us, it was bad.
I remember being in high school with a kid who is a known dope boy, and he was sitting there, and we were. We were taking a like a state test, you know how you in Michigan they call them like the MEEP tests or something like that, and it's like a standardized testing so that you know they see where all the kids are, and so the teacher's like, okay, everybody pick up your pencils, you know, and begin, and all of a sudden you hear dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and this kid looks at his pager, and he goes, I gotta go make a phone call. And the teacher's like, you can't leave. This is like testing. Like, you could have gone to the bathroom or whatever prior. You're here now for the next hour. She's like, you have to do the test. He's like, no, I gotta leave now. Right. And she's like, no, you have to finish your test. He goes, okay, fine. C, 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 C. Like, just goes through, bubbles everything C, throws the test and the pencil on her desk and walks out the door. That was the big beeper story when I was in high school.
His business plan was a little bit better than getting straight A's on the meat test.
Yeah, his business was none of hers.
Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious. Well, you guys, that is it for the freebie portion and us talking about places we like to eat. We need to do this regularly, where we tell the listeners everything we're going to go over, and then it's completely different.
I think we do, Joe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think
we're going to keep it going, listeners. So, but it's always fun to hear. I especially like this when me and you talk, and it goes like in a completely different direction. Obviously, we wanted to talk about places to eat, getting our stomachs upset, any medical stuff that we ever had to deal with, things like that. Maybe we could talk about that on the next one.
Yeah, we're going to get to it.
But communication and all that stuff, these are funny stories. This is stuff that like I haven't thought of in years. Years. The last time I thought of this stuff was probably when the Insiders were touring. And shoot, we just heard an amazing story by you. I haven't even thought, like, if I had 10 minutes to sit down and think of, you know, my communication stories or things like, well, I basically did. My big communication stories were like the, you know, the calling cards and those things, or you're trying to have a moment with your girlfriend or your fiance or something like that over, and you have everybody in the room or everybody's listening. You're trying to call from, you know, the hotel room. You want to get there a half hour early to be able to, you know, I'd want to talk to like Leslie, get in half hour early.
Yeah.
Everybody come piling in and you're like sweating and you're, you know, your face is all flushed. You know, they're like, what are you doing? You're like, no, nothing. Just talking on the phone. And so those were some times there, boy.
It was good times.
All right. Well, we're going to bring this to an end. We're at about the 55 minute mark, maybe. And we don't want to get started on something else because we have to still do another hour for the paid peeps. So, you guys, if you enjoy this, if you want to hear crap stories, or you want to hear either way, figuratively and literally, crap stories, you can sign up to be a Patreon member. That gives you an extra hour each week, or an extra 4 or 5 hours a month of listening. Imagine that. Like when I say, you get an hour extra every week.
Yeah.
I think in my head, like, okay, you're getting an hour extra. But then if I do the math and I say you're getting an extra 4 hours, not only do I say, wow, that's a lot of time, the first thing I think of is who in the hell wants to listen to us for that amount of time? Not only the for free, that's people listening to us ramble, yammer on for 8 hours. That's bananas.
It's bananas. That is so, you guys, this is,
the end of this. You guys can follow us on Instagram at the Pickle and Boot Shop. You can follow us on Facebook at the Pickle and Boot Shop Podcast, I believe, a diabolical brainwashing machine. Follow us on there. You can also follow us on Twitter and Patreon. Mm-hmm. And I think Reese knows that.
I don't. I think it's capital P, capital B, Ooch Shop. And I haven't made a tweet in about 2 months. Maybe I should just tweet that. I haven't made a tweet in 2 months.
I did a Facebook post today on our thing, which was the first one. And I'm really going to start to try and do that and at least, you know, post stuff. And you guys, if you want, you can post stuff on there, whatever the case may be. But again, getting back to just kind of getting this silly little community together to be able to have fun and do all that stuff. We finally, I think we talked about on the last one, we finally got together and did a Zoom call with Patreon members. So if you guys are interested in that, of not only getting an extra 4 to 5 hours of us yammering a month, if you become a Patreon member, you can also do the Zoom calls with us. Ask us questions, hang out with us, tell us what you're drinking. All that good stuff.
Yell at us. A lot of yelling.
If you're gay, tell us if we're your type or not.
Thank you.
If you're straight, tell us if we're your type or not.
True.
Ladies, we only want to hear if we're your type. I don't want to know if I'm not. I don't want that rejection.
Just keep that to yourself.
Keep it to yourself or fake it. Just fake that you think we're good-looking, good-sounding dudes. You know,
yeah.
So that's that. So you guys, this is the paid portion. This is the freebie portion. We'll see you.
Peace. Did I say it too loud?
No, you didn't. I think you said it. You said it well enough. You said it well enough to where the paid people can look down their noses at the freebies.
Yeah.
And get hype for this next hour.
For more shows like this one, visit rockcandyrecordings.com.
Hey.
Jeez, that sucked.
That's all right. It's fine. Hey, do you want to clap so we get it on the thing? Okay, ready?
Hit record. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you got yours ready? 3, 2, 1. Did you do that on purpose? You were so far up behind me. Is it the lag?
No, I was perfect with you.
Shit balls.
On my end, I was perfect with you.
Okay.
I mean, probably the best so far.
So far of the clapping.
Yes, of getting the clap.
Of getting the clap. What is a clap slang for? Gonorrhea, or is it syphilis?
I don't know. Hmm. I don't know which it is. I've never really known what the clap was.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, it's been used for jokes, but I don't actually know what it is.
That'd be such a cool name for a band, the clap.
I wonder if the clap. Oh, for sure.
Take it. I'm
for
taking
sure.
it.
Hey, well, before we get into anything really good like this, let's start the show, and then we get all this.
Oh, well, I'm recording. I don't know about you. Oh, I forgot to record on Skype.
What?
Fuck balls.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now I'm recording.
Hit that.
Can we do the clap again?
What? No, we don't need to clap again, do we?
Well, unless...
Or do we?
Yeah, because...
Yes.
Because otherwise I won't have the Skype video.
Yes, you will. But the Skype video would have both of us, both of our audio starting at the same point.
Right.
It's the other one that we have to clap for. So you can match that up.
Ave Maria. Sorry.
Fantastic.
Right.
Is this episode 21?
I don't even know. I think, no.
Because I think episode 20 was the last one.
I think 20 was the last one that came out. I think we got one in the can still.
Okay, so we're on 22.
22, but let's just...
All right.
But just label it 8:15 so I don't get confused.
Yes, I am doing that.
I get confused easily,
but
Joe.
As far as what I say... Yeah. Okay.